Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY21 earnings conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Jason D'Souza. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Welcome to Glenmark's Q2 earnings call. First, the review of operations for the quarter ended September 30, 2020. For the second quarter of FY2021, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was at 2,9,524.79 million, recording an increase of 4.88%. For the 6 months ended September 30, 2020, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was at 5,2,972.66 million, recording an increase of 3.10%. India business. Sales from the formulation business in India for the second quarter was at 1,050.61 million, recording growth of 17.22%. The India business continued to outperform the industry growth and has grown consistently over the past several years. As per IQVIA September 20 data, Glenmark's India business recorded growth of  25.6% as compared to IPM growth of 6.2%. The strong performance of the India business during the quarter was aided by revenue generated from the sales of favipiravir. As per IQVIA MAT September 20 data, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals IF is ranked 14th with market share of 2.31%. Glenmark is the second fastest growing company among the top 20 companies on a MAT September 2020 basis. In terms of market share, Glenmark strengthened its positions in all its core therapies areas, including cardiac, diabetes, and respiratory. During the second quarter, Glenmark also launched the world's first hypertension awareness symbol in collaboration with the Association of Physicians of India and Hypertension Society of India. The symbol is developed in consultation with 50,000 leading doctors in the country to raise awareness of the growing burden of hypertension and the need for timely screening. Glenmark has also pledged on-ground support to the cause by committing to screen 5 million people for hypertension through screening kiosks at corporate hospitals in all major metro cities. Glenmark's novel patent-protected and globally researched SGLT2 inhibitor, remoglufosin etobanate, continues to do well in India. Glenmark is the first company in the world to launch remoglufosin, and the response from KOLs has been positive. As per IQVIA 2020 data, Glenmark's remoglufosin ranks first in terms of prescription with RX share of 25.2% and sixth in terms of value with a market share of 7.4%. Glenmark recently launched Nindanib, Nintedanib 100 and 150 mg capsules for the treatment of pulmonary fibrosis in India. Glenmark, being one of the leading players in the area of respiratory, is amongst the first to launch the branded generic version at an affordable cost to treat pulmonary fibrosis in India. Glenmark's consumer care business. Despite headwinds in discretionary consumer care categories in the country, Glenmark's consumer care business performed well in the second quarter. Even with the ease of restrictions, the recovery in the skincare category is the slowest. However, the GCC business has still clocked revenue of ₹465.2 million in the second quarter, growing in excess of 40%, excluding VWash. This growth is led by Candid Powder, which grew in excess of 50% in the second quarter. North America, Glenmark Pharmaceutical USA registered revenue from the sale of finished dosage formulation at $7,521.77 million, recording decline in revenue by 11.28%. In the second quarter of the financial year, Glenmark launched Charlotte 24 FE, adding a trade name to its existing generic Minostrin 24 FE tablets. The company filed 4 ANDAs with the US FDA till September 2020 and plans to file 15 to 20 ANDAs in this financial year. Africa, Asia and CIS region. For the second quarter of FY21, revenue from Africa, Asia and CIS region was 3805.87 million, recording growth of 9.11%. In the second quarter of the financial year, secondary sales growth for the Russian subsidiary was at 3% in value vis-a-vis corresponding quarter for the previous financial year. The Russian subsidiary has performed well relative to market conditions. The Russian subsidiary expects to launch 3 to 5 new product approvals in the next half of the financial year. This will ensure that the subsidiary performance will rebound strongly from the next financial year. The rest of the CIS region continues to remain challenging, with the YTD retail market declining by -9.9%, dermatology market by -8.2%, and expectorant market by -42%. However, as per Morion Match September 20 data, Glenmark Ukraine recorded growth of 13.3% in value. The company also continues to do well despite challenging market conditions in the remaining markets of the CIS region. In the second quarter of the financial year, most of the Asian markets observed partial lockdown following the second wave of COVID-19, which impacted patient flows to the clinic or hospital OPDs. Due to this, the Asia region continued to be under pressure as secondary sales declined by 10% for the second quarter. The Middle East and Africa region recorded strong growth in the second quarter of the financial year. The growth was across all major MEA markets, including Kenya and Saudi Arabia subsidiaries, which was positive. Glenmark's Europe operations revenue for the second quarter FY 2021 was at 3181.27 million, recording growth of 11.59%. Due to the fear of the second wave of the ongoing pandemic, Glenmark's European business remained weak in the second quarter. Even though sales for the anti-malarial drug Atovaq 1 Proganil declined substantially due to travel restrictions, the UK subsidiary still recorded growth in the second quarter of the financial year. The Western European business continued expanding through increased penetration in the Nordic region, UK, Germany, Spain and Netherlands. During the quarter, the UK subsidiary launched one product, German subsidiary three products, and six products were launched in the Nordic region. The Central Eastern European regions was under pressure due to the pandemic, with most of the major markets not performing well in the quarter. Latin America. Glenmark's revenue from its Latin America and Caribbean operations was at 983.51 million, recording revenue decline of 18.88%. The Brazilian subsidiary was impacted in terms of sales in the second quarter. This was on account of the respiratory market, which declined by 19% for the year. Further, 20% of the pharmacy stores in the country remained closed due to the pandemic. The Mexican and the Argentinian subsidiaries recorded growth in constant currency in the second quarter. GPL Specialty Innovative R&D Pipeline, Ryaltris. Ryaltris, the company's respiratory pipeline asset, is currently under review with the US FDA as a treatment for seasonal allergic rhinitis in the US. Ryaltris sales continues to progress well in Australia after the successful launch in the first quarter of FY 2021 by Glenmark's partner Seqirus. During the quarter, Ryaltris was launched in South Africa. Glenmark plans to initiate commercial launch in Ukraine and Uzbekistan in the third quarter of the financial year. Glenmark is also supporting its partner Yuhan Corporation to launch Ryaltris by the end of the financial year in South Korea. Glenmark received approval for Ryaltris in Australia, South Korea, Cambodia, Ukraine, Uzbekistan, Namibia, and South Africa. The company has filed an application for Ryaltris approval in European Union, Canada, Russia, Brazil, Malaysia, and several emerging markets. Glenmark is also working to close a partnership deal for Ryaltris in various other markets, including the EU and Canada. Glenmark is working with its partners in Australia and South Korea to submit the pediatric efficacy supplement in the fourth quarter of this financial year. Glenmark's partner in China, Grand Pharmaceutical, plans to submit an IND in the third quarter of this financial year. A pre-IND meeting application was submitted to the CDE in the first quarter of this year, which was followed by receipt of feedback from the CDE in September 2020. GBR310, the company continues to be in discussion with potential partners and is targeting to conclude a deal before it initiates phase 3 study. GRC39815, the company recently received an IND approval from the US FDA to commence a phase 1 first-in-human study. Glenmark Life Sciences Limited, GLS. For the second quarter of the financial year, Glenmark Life Sciences Limited registered consolidated revenue, including captive sales, of 5192 million, recording growth of 39.9%. For the first half of the financial year, Glenmark Life Sciences consolidated revenue, including captive sales, was at 9179 million, recording growth of 30.5%. For the second quarter of FY 2021, external sales for Glenmark Life Sciences was at 3213 million. Recording growth of 19.11% over the corresponding period of the last year. The external sales for the API business performed well in the second quarter, recording strong growth primarily in markets of India and the US. During the quarter, Glenmark GLS submitted one DMF each in Canada, Korea, Russia, and submitted two DMFs in China. The company is also looking to file at least 10 to 12 DMFs in the third quarter of the financial year. Ichnos Sciences. For the second quarter of the financial year, Glenmark invested 2250 million, 30.09 million, as compared to 1935 million invested in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. For the first 6 months of the financial year, Glenmark invested $3,980 million as compared to $3,835 million invested in the corresponding period of the financial year. For further updates on the pipeline of the organization, please log on to www.ichnosciences.com. The pipeline update for the first quarter of this financial year is published on the site. Script for the earnings. Before we start the question and answers, a few comments that I would like to make. Forex loss for the second quarter was at 57 crores. 17 crores was recorded in other expenditure and 40 crores was recorded in other income to offset the Forex gain of 40 crores in the first quarter. R&D expenditure for the second quarter was at 365 crores, which was around 12.36% to net sales. For the first 6 months, R&D expenditure was 619 crores, which was at 11.7% to net sales. Innovation expenditure was at 398 crores and generics R&D expenditure was at 221 crores for the first 6 months of the financial year. Gross debt for the second quarter, September 2020, was at 4689 crores as compared to 4868 crores for the year ended March 31, 2020. Net debt for the second quarter ended September 30, 2020 was at 3780 crores as compared to 3758 crores for the year ended March 31, 2020. Total asset additions for the first half of the financial year was 390 crores, of which intangible addition was to the extent of 156 crores. Working capital, debtors as on September 30, 2020 was at 2648 crores as compared to 2409 crores. In number of days, debtors was at 88. Inventory as on September 30, 2020 was at 2202 crores as compared to 2136 crores. Inventory number of days was at 73. Payables as on September 30, 2020 was at 2167 crores as compared to 2126 crores. Payables in number of days was at 72 as on September 30, 2020. With this, I would like to introduce Glenmark's management on the call. We have Glenn Saldanha, Chairman and Managing Director, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals, V.S. Money, Executive Director and Global Chief Financial Officer, and Robert Crockart, Chief Commercial Officer, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. With this, I'll hand it over back to the operator for Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions. First on the India business, if you could give us some color on, you know, how much was the contribution of Fabiflu, you know, if not in absolute numbers, probably color on how the underlying performance was and, you know, what are we seeing in terms of trend in October?
Good morning. Yes, Amar. Good morning, everybody. So, yes, thank you for the question. Just to give you a good idea, our growth has been pretty consistent, including the Favi. Our base business, we have found, has been growing around 7 to 8%. So really the difference between our overall growth and this 8% is all accounted for Favi.
When you say 7 to 8% growth, that is for the India business?
Base business, yes, for the India business.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much. My second question is on the U.S. You know, we're still hovering at around the, you know, 100 million mark. If you could give us, you know, some sense on, you know, how did we see pricing in derma? Have you seen recovery in, you know, derma? Because some of our peers have shown a pickup in, you know, sort of the generic derma business also. And how should we look at this business from a, you know, a 12 to 18 month perspective?
Sure, no problem. So I think first of all, the second quarter, yes, it's been a tough one. We have seen price erosion probably hitting the bottom now. We've been unfortunate to not have too many big approvals coming through. And yes, of course, the dermatology area has taken significant impact as a result of the pandemic. However, if you look at the upcoming quarters, we are pretty optimistic about quarter three. We've had quite a few approvals coming through looking at sirolimus, methyl fumarate, pimecrolimus. And then, of course, we have quite a few exciting approvals we're expecting in the next couple of quarters. So we do see a positive trend, and we're quite optimistic about quarter three and quarter four.
Robert, if I may ask, how many approvals, you know, should we look at, you know, more from second half perspective, and also, you know, if I were to think about FY22, you know, based on our pipeline?
So, Neha, I think Jason mentioned 15 to 20 approvals, right, for the full year.
I apologize, filing.
But you can typically expect 10 to 12 approvals annually, yeah.
Okay, and the injectable approvals, when will we start seeing that in the U.S.?
So fulvestrant, we are already commercialized, right? And I would anticipate next financial year, you should see quite a few injectables coming through. We are expecting one more yet this year.
Okay.
Out of Monroe, and then the next year you should see quite a few coming through.
Understood. And my last question is on the inflow from the sale of the consumer brands to HUL. I see that we have recorded only, I think, about 42 crores in this quarter. Could you, I thought the number was supposed to be higher than that.
Yeah, so, Neha Mani, so broadly, whenever we accrue these kind of cash flows, we obviously have expenses and any assets, etc., that we give against that. So it is net of that. And also, we are getting some amount of monies as a part of the royalties, okay? So as a part of the arrangement, it is an undisclosed amount, so that's why we are not able to put that.
So from the first part of the payment, everything has been received. There's nothing payment other than the royalty payments.
Yeah, correct.
Understood. Okay. And even for the Poland business, all inflows have been...
That was last year, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Mani, on the working capital front, there is a very sharp increase in receivables.
Sure.
How should we look at this now for the end of the year?
So, Nitin, as you would be aware, this year there have been on and off, basically logistics and supply chain, takes a little time. So I think a lot of shipments went closer to the end of the quarter. So I believe that this should substantially correct itself in Q3 and Q4. Okay, it's basically debtors that have gone up. So that is the most liquid of the assets. So I think we should be in a good position to see some of these. Yeah.
Okay, this seems a little surprising because we've seen this is in a quarter or in the first half, we'll see very strong cash generation across most of the peer set. So it just came as a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I agree. But then if you look at it, inventory is well under control. The creditors are under control. Only a portion of the receivable that as it goes. And that's about 200 crores out of when you look at a quarter sale of about 3,000 crores, it's not a very substantial portion. 100, 200 crores could always get a little bit lumpy at the end of the quarter, which you could receive in the next quarters, yeah?
And secondly, the CapEx numbers also seem to be high, on the higher side versus what we've been guiding to, right?
Yeah, so, we are guided about 700 to 800, so we are closer to 400, right? So I believe that in the second half, it should be slightly lower than this also. So I don't think that we are off the guidance much. So we should be pretty much there, yeah.
And lastly, on the cost front, there seems to be a fairly decent reduction or control in both staff costs and other expenses, excluding R&D, on a YOY basis.
Sure.
How should we look at this numbers now going forward?
I think broadly, Nitin, we've seen an EBITDA of around little less than 20% for the first half. I think we would guide to that in the next half of the year as well. So I think we got a good handle on the cost side going forward. So you should definitely see this around these levels, yeah.
And excuse me, last one again on the INEOS economic fund rate. You put out a timeline of December to close the transaction. How comfortable are you with the timeline?
So Nitin, we have quite a lot of interest right now from several US investors. So the management believes that by December we'll be able to close the transaction.
Okay. Thank you, Indeshwar.
Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Krish Mehta from Enam Holding. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my questions. I had two questions. The first one was on the inventory. So if you could please give the number for the Q1 and Q2 inventory, like a breakup of that.
So the Q2 inventory we have given, so broadly the Q1 was also similarly in line. I mean, I don't have the number right now, but it is very much so. Between March and today, the increase in the inventory is about maximum about 60 odd crores. Okay, so inventories have been pretty much in control. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And my second question was about the US business. So what is your estimate on like when this US business will bottom out and when it will start to show growth, since we've seen like a decline this quarter?
I think just to build on what I've said a bit earlier is we believe we've seen the bottom out now, right? So we believe that we'll see the growth now pick up in quarter three and even furthermore in quarter four.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Alankar Garud from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good morning everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the ANDA filing. So we did four till September and we are planning to file 15 to 20 in this fiscal. So does this mean some shift in our R&D strategy, and are we looking to have possibly a higher focus on generic R&D than maybe what we have had over the past couple of years?
Well, Ankar, we've been very consistent in terms of our spends on the generic and supporting the overall business. I mean, I think second half will look better for in terms of number of filing of generics, and also I think Ichnos spends will be a little lower. So I think overall, you know, our R&D spends, you know, full year will finish within 10 to 11%, somewhere thereabouts, right, as a company. But I think our spending pattern and our investments in R&D in the different pieces of R&D have been pretty consistent.
Understood. And my second question, Glenn, is if you look at ISB 830, it seems that even with higher dosage, the primary endpoint, or rather the secondary endpoint has not been met. So how are we looking at this product going forward?
Well, ISB 830 is a broad immunology compound, right? It could work in various different types of immune diseases, right? Obviously, for atopic dermatitis, the phase 2B, which was carried out, you know, we met the primary endpoint, which basically shows that the drug is working in patients, okay? But it is not as good as, the response is probably not as good as some of the competing molecules. So our view is ISB 830 could play an important role in the treatment of other forms of inflammation and other immunology indications. We have approval for rheumatoid arthritis from the agency, and right now we are looking for partners who can take the drug forward into other indications.
Okay, so basically we won't be going ahead with phase 2B for RA before we get a partner?
That's correct.
Okay. And one final question from my side. You mentioned about similar EBITDA margins in the second half, 19.5%. So can you just throw some light on what exactly is happening on the cost side? I think at the beginning of the fiscal, you had mentioned about R&D and possibly employee cost. Are there any other expenses where we have seen some structural reduction in savings? So any color on that would be helpful.
Yeah, so broadly, if you look at it on an overall basis, when you look at your SG&A expenses itself, there has been a decent reduction. And, looking at travel and so many other things, there are many lines that one can look at. So on a very broad basis, I think there has been at least a good 2-3% that we could pull down, and I think it will remain there. And also our R&D, as we just said, is about almost 1.5-2% lower than the previous year. So all in all, when we bunch all this together, we feel we are in a good position, and we definitely can see a 3-4% increase in our margins, going forward as well.
Okay. Thank you, Mani sir, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Just wanted some outlook on the India business. I understand, there's a very good growth on the back of Peripiravir and your chronic portfolio. So I'm not sure you already discussed, but what would have been growth look like ex Peripiravir and the outlook for the second half?
Yes. So, the question was a bit earlier as well. But just to give you clarity, our base is actually growing around 7-8%. So the balance is all on Favi. And then, of course, for the balance of year, we expect Favi flu to slow down, but we're also expecting our base to systematically also improve. So we also have an optimistic view on the balance of year.
The double digit is clearly achievable, as we've been doing in the past.
Yes, Prakash.
Yes, we believe so.
Perfect, great. And if we just strip out the cost savings on the SG&A line, which we have seen across the, the pharma companies, especially which have high branded generic sales. If we, remove that saving, we are back to that 16-17% margins. So I understand the easing of lockdown, traveling and all will increase, but not to that extent. But what is the business change which has led to better margins? Is Peripiravir a lower margin business? Because looking at YOY, not much change in the base margins. If there's a comment there, and how do we see this moving up?
So, Prakash, as you can see, we have continued to keep our gross margins right there, at about 35%. That is a margin about 65%. So in spite of whatever you said about some of the businesses where the margins could be lower, in spite of that, the business has managed to keep the margins well up. It's a combination of product and the kind of work we've done on the procurement side as well. So it's not just about only SG&A, it's all around, okay? So that we have done well. So going forward, if some of those lesser margin businesses come off, we should see a slight improvement in the margins at the GC level as well, which is our endeavor to do that. So, and as far as the other expenses, whatever you said, that will be the, across the industry. Everybody would have got some benefit or the other. But I think there is a big lesson for everybody to look at it. So in our mind, we feel that we are quite confident of achieving the 19-20% margin. And that's where the confidence comes from. And also, as we said, even the R&D expenses, we have pruned down a bit. So overall, we have tightened the belt across the board by 1-2% everywhere. So it's not just one factor that went and made the big change, okay?
Perfect. That is helpful. And lastly, on R&D side, so suppose this deal happens by end of this calendar year, which we are very confident. How does the R&D look next year for us in fiscal 22?
So Prakash, it's hard to put a finger on what the R&D spend is going to look like for next year till we complete the capital raise, right? It'll all depend on the quantum of capital raise. But that will impact basically the cash, okay, on the P&L side, to the extent that we will dilute, to that extent it will get consolidated. Right? So I think R&D spends, our view on the P&L will be more or less in the same ballpark, right? Maybe slightly lower, But on the cash side, it will help dramatically because you'll get external funding, right, into the business.
Okay. And so we should model in around, what, 10% when you say we'll prune down a bit on an overall basis?
Prakash, you can, between 10 and 11, but you can keep it closer to 10, okay? That's how we can model it.
And what would be the current split with generic and NC?
I think we had read out the numbers.
So, Prakash, okay. If you look at it, the innovation expenditure was 398 crores for first 6 months. And generic expenditure was 221 crores.
Perfect. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Just the first one on the respiratory pipeline for the in Europe. I recollect like we have done completed our litigation and all of that. So how has that portfolio behaved in quarter two?
So on our respiratory pipeline, we've made some real good progress, right? I mean, we've been able to relaunch in some of our markets. We've also, so we have now got pretty much coverage across most of the markets. Furthermore, we are looking at a further expansion in terms of how we can penetrate even further with our respiratory portfolio. So this is really going to be the strength for us moving forward.
Yeah, but is there any contribution this quarter, or you think it is a more second half and fiscal 22 where we'll see meaningful growth? So what about the 5% constant currency growth we have seen in Europe? Would that be the other things rather than respiratory yet?
Yes, I would say it's more of the other, because I think respiratory as a whole has also had an impact, of course, mm-hmm. through the pandemic. But I think with a balanced view, as we look at the balance of the year, we would see it pick it up systematically.
Got it. Thank you. Second question is on Ryaltris, right? I know the FDA is under review, the file. Is there any incremental updates? Have you heard back? Or is it still too early on that one? And the second one on the launch in Australia, any qualitative sense you can give on how the market is looking at that?
I was just going to say that on the US, it's a bit early, right? Unless you wanted to add to that, Glenn. So it's still a bit of work in progress. And then furthermore, when we're looking at Australia, we launched this in quarter one, and the initial indicators have been very positive, right? So we are at this stage ahead of expectations. And also, we've recently launched in South Africa. And also the initial months, the results have been pretty promising.
Shyam, on the US side, we are expecting a likely approval of H2, calendar H2, right, 2021, right, in the US. As you know, we partnered with ICMA. So I think, we are hoping to go back to the FDA soon, right? There was an outstanding CRL, right? We're hoping to go back to the agency soon. So that's the status on the US. And of course, Europe also we've filed, so we're expecting Europe to start contributing next year in a big way to Ryaltris. So I think when you look at next year, I think across the different geographies, Ryaltris should be a substantial contributor to the year.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you, Glenn. Last question is on Latin America. I read through the MD&A, which said that there has been, issues in Brazil, specifically on the respiratory portfolio again. And so what's the outlook in the second half? Are you seeing, and just the, Glenn Bob, just the general thing on second wave of COVID, is there something that one needs to worry? Do you think this will keep the developed market, including Latin America, kind of under pressure for the second half of the fiscal?
Thank you for your question, Sean. So, yes, I think, when we look at LATAM, we've seen some impact with reference to the currency. Of course, the lockdown had its effect. But I think the biggest challenge we've had is in the respiratory category, right? You've seen that it's declined by 19 to 20%, and it just had to have an impact, right? You also look at the pharmacy stores, up to 20% of the stores have not even opened again. So in general, it's been a real challenge for us in quarter two. However, now at very early stages, I mean, October is gone. We've seen a positive trend, and we hope that we can see this trend continue through the balance of the year. Just on your question on second lockdown, I guess our guess is as good as yours. However, we will manage that as time will tell. All right, thank you.
Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from Tushar from Motilal Oswal AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Just from the API side, the traction has been improving or strengthening quarter over quarter. So is this to do, I mean, there have been some commentaries from the other formulators that this is more because of the inventory buildup to avoid any disruption because of this COVID. So is it the case for us also on the API external sales?
I think we are very optimistic about our API business. I mean, we're seeing some very good offtake. It's got nothing to do with inventory buildup. This is actually, you know, a lot of the shift which is happening is coming on account of, I think, more and more customers wanting to move from China to India, right, and to pick up suppliers from India. So that is also assisting the whole trend on the API side. So our view is the next few years, I mean, the API business will continue to show strong growth across the board.
And this is more led by, so effectively this is more led by volume rather than just favorable pricing.
Correct.
And just if you could just also highlight the product concentration on the API segment, like top 5, top 10 products would be contributing how much?
It's very, very broad based. So our business, unlike many of our peers, API, who have API businesses, right, our concentration is very broad based. So I don't think any single product contributes to more than 10%.
Correct. Interesting. And just secondly on this ROW segment, is this also, if you could just clarify, this is also led by this COVID-led products or again some improving outlook in select geographies?
I think it's there's very little of COVID-led products in here. I mean, this is mostly, you know, some geographies outperforming and growing faster.
Would you like to call out which specific geographies are, and is that sustainable?
I think it's sustainable. I can't give you a breakup of specific geographies because ROW is a very broad-based business. I mean, we have operations in, 30, 40-odd countries. So it's much broader, right? I can't call out a specific geography, but I think, we see this trend continuing.
Okay, that helps. Thanks. That's it from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. A reminder to all participants present in this conference, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My question is on the debt reduction front. So if you can update on debt reduction plan for this year as well as for next coming years.
So as you can see, the gross debt has come down by about 180 crores in the first half of this year. And while we had some, requirements on the working capital side, but I see that going forward in the current year, you should see similar kind of reduction in the net debt as well as we go along. And also as the business grows, obviously sometimes there are requirements, but on a very broad basis, it is there. And with the improvement in the EBITDA, I think the ratios all look quite good. I think it's difficult to put a number what we'll do next year, but going forward, if we continue to manage if we continue to do our business as well, obviously we should see reduction as we go along, okay, similar to what we will see in the current year.
Okay, so debt reduction mainly led by the operational cash flow, and do we have any diversification plan for any non-strategic assets which can help us in debt reduction front?
So I think the biggest, you know, outside of the core business, you know, where you'll see constant debt reduction, right, going forward. Also, you know, with the Iconos capital raise, right, our investment in Iconos will go down, which obviously will mean the business will have significant free cash coming in. So I think starting next year, you should see a big chunk of delever happen, right? Of course, in the next few quarters also, you'll see some amount from the business, but I think next year will be a big amount of delever.
Okay, that's helpful. And one question on the API business. So you are seeing, you said it's helped by customers diversifying away from China. So are we seeing such poor queries from the global customers who are looking to diversify their sourcing away from China, and that should continue to help us?
Absolutely. I think we are seeing a lot of that, a lot of global customers who are now looking for India sources, and that is helping and will continue to help going forward.
Okay, and this is across the product portfolio, not something related to COVID or some specific therapy, right?
Correct.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Vishal Manchandana from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I wanted to check whether the cost related to the Monroe facility...
Sorry to interrupt, but your audio is not very clear. Can you speak from the handset mode, please?
Hello, is this better?
Yes, you may go ahead, sir.
Yeah. So wanted to check whether the cost related to the Monroe facility is into the P&L, or there's still some costs that need to come going forward.
So since already we are on with oral solids and also the injectable side, a lot of the costs are already in the P&L. Okay.
Oh, so more than half is there to.
Yeah,
say?
Around closer to half. Yeah, closer to half.
Okay. Okay. And one more on the your NCE side, basically the bispecific antibody platform. Just wanted to check whether there are any approved bispecific antibodies this is basically a new target and would need to be validated.
There is one bispecific approved for Micromet, I think, which eventually got sold to Amgen. So Amgen has one, I think it's called Blincyto, right? Which is approved, which is again a CD3 engager. And obviously there is a huge amount of work ongoing on bispecific antibodies, right? And many of them have shown positive responses in phase 1s and phase 2s in the clinics and have progressed quite significantly.
There would be bispecific antibodies that would have come into phase 3 now, apart from the one that's already approved.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Rohit Kadari from GC Holding. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just one two questions on Iconos. What is the size of fundraise are we talking about? What is the expected dilution we would look at in Iconos? And after this fundraise for the financial year of FY22, what would be still the investment which the parent Glenmark will have to make into Iconos?
So, Rohit, unfortunately, I don't think we can give any visibility on any of the questions you asked. Basically, I think the fundraise will all depend on the valuation. I think basis that we will decide how much of capital to raise at this juncture versus how much capital will be raised subsequently, right? So I think, you know, this is a Series B fundraise. There will be a Series C, D, and obviously, hopefully, one of the series will be an IPO. So I think there's a big runway there as the company keeps, you know, the value keeps increasing, right? And as we keep these assets keep progressing, there will be subsequent rounds of capital raise. That's the only visibility we can give you right now. I mean, we can't give you any details on the size of the capital raise at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Glenn, on a very broad level, one challenge that we've had historically is while your offering performance has been reasonably okay, our capital allocation issues have been essentially a bit of a concern in general. I mean, have been sort of, if you will, the challenges market has been grappling with. So when you take a next, say, year, 2 year view, I mean, what broad thoughts should you have on the capital allocation side in terms of, be the debt reduction part of it, whether it be deployment of capital, focus on incremental businesses. I mean, where are we, how are we looking at incremental capital deployment for the business?
I mean, Nitin, I think the next few years are purely, see, we've gone through a massive capital investment cycle, okay, over the last 5 odd years, right, or more. And for me, the next 2-3 years are purely, you know, making sure we unlock all the value that we've already created, right? So I think from that perspective, I think the next few years is all about free cash generation and repaying debt, right? And till we complete that cycle, right, of delevering, right, we will not deploy additional capital to beyond the regular investments that we make to sustain our current businesses and our current growth. There are no new initiatives which will suck up cash. So that's the way we see it. So I think the next few years is purely about, you know, cash generation using that capital to repay debt and deleveraging. Our base business growth continues to remain strong. The margins have improved now to 19-20%, and the margins will keep improving over the next few years consistently. Also, with, you know, once we get the Ikonos capital raise done, our investment in innovation or innovative research will go down. So I think overall, you know, we think the next few years will all be about, you know, the value creation and using the free cash to repay it.
Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Cinderella Carvalho from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. If you could help us understand the overview on U.S. business, specifically over next 2 to 3 years, FY22-23, as we expect it to be bottoming out and things should roll ahead in our expectation way. So what should we model in for 22 and 23 in U.S.? And if you could help us, you just guided us on the entire view over next 2-3 years. Similarly, you can help us understand the India business also would be helpful.
Sure. So on the U.S., right, I mean, our view is, you know, the last 3-4 years have been really painful for us in the U.S. We've not had significant growth coming through. And that's primarily because of all the price erosion we witnessed, particularly on the derm portfolio, right? I mean, we had Mupirocin, we had Calcipotriene, we had Atomoxetine, you know, a whole bunch of products which have seen unprecedented price erosion, right, over the last 2-3 years. So as Robert mentioned, you know, we are now at the bottom of the price erosion curve. And at this, from this quarter, from Q3 onwards, that cycle will reverse. So I think FY22 and 23, you should see good growth coming back from the US, and primarily driven by also the filings coming, which we've done in Monroe, right, which now will start getting approved and have started getting approved. So I think that will also help in FY22 and 23. And also our investment in Monroe, we are hoping, will start paying back from 22 and then 23. So all in all, the US looks strong over 22 and 23. You know, we've gone through a difficult phase in the US over the last 2-3 years. We are expecting strong comeback over the next few years. As far as India goes, India has always been a strong market for Glenmark. We have a number of filings, we have a lot of good products, and we still think India will continue to sustain double-digit growth going forward for us. And we keep having enough of new product filings, new product approvals, market expansions to ensure that.
Any FDA approvals that we could look forward to in 22-23 in US?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Any key approvals or any niche approvals that we should look forward to in 22-23?
I mean, we don't give any visibility to specific approvals, but you can expect the same 10-12 approvals coming through. Only the quality of approvals, as Robert mentioned, will improve substantially going forward, because we have some good filings pending with the agency.
Thank you so much. All the best. That was very helpful.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Rahul Veera from Abacus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just a quick question. Wanted to understand, sir, dimethyl furate opportunity will be at a risk launch, right?
That's correct. But we've still not made a decision whether we want to go ahead or not go ahead with commercializing it.
Okay. Because almost there are like 7 approvals now for methyl furate, and 3 or 4 launches have happened. So I believe even though the opportunity size seems sizable, but eventually it will boil down to $30-40 million. Is my thought process correct?
I mean, we can't comment on the specific details of DMF, right? But I think, you know, as you rightly said, it's an at-risk launch. The Federal Circuit decision is expected, right? And we'll see what happens.
Sure. 5 points, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Jason D'Souza for closing comments.
Thank you, Janice. Just before we close the call, the disclaimer. The information, statement, and analysis made during this call describing the company's objectives, projections, and estimates are forward-looking statements and progressive within the meaning of applicable security laws and regulation. The analysis contained herein is based on numerous assumptions. Actual results may vary from those expressed or implied depending upon economic conditions, government policies, and other incidental factors. No representation or warranty either expressed or implied is provided in relation to this presentation. This presentation should not be regarded by recipients as a substitute for the exercise of their own judgment. With this, we end Glenmark's Q2 earnings call. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.